This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Victoria Agramarkova and Svetlana Tsipak. What we're going to talk about today is Ukraine, but in particular we're going to talk about Ukraine and what's been happening to the wine regions in Ukraine since the Russian invasion. Last week we talked about some of the different wine regions, and I think a couple of them are definitely in the firing line, so to speak, and they were Zaporizhia and Kherson. Is that...
Yes.
Are they completely occupied now, territory, or is it partially occupied?
No, just partly.
Partially occupied, yeah. And wineries themselves in those regions, are they in occupied territory, or are they okay, or...?
On both territories. So if we just consider the Kherson region divided to the two banks by river, by Dnipro River, and we liberated just the right bend of the river, and the left bend of the river still occupied. The left bend of the river, of the Dnipro River, we have many small craft wineries with their own vineyards, not only occupied, but flooded already.
Flooded?
Flooded already, yeah.
Oh, did they get hit by when that dam...
Yeah.
Went? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But not only vineyards, but in wineries as well.
Oh, yeah, everything gets flooded.
And they lost already all wines that they just aging in the steel tanks or in the wooden barrels, so it's they lost completely.
Has the flood water subsided now, or is it still...
Just a little bit, yeah.
A little bit, or is it still there? Cause...
It's still high water, but it's a little bit come down. Yeah.
But you cannot use these vines anymore. You just need to unroot it.
Yeah, yes. It's not just water. It's water with some chemicals came to the vineyards. And even if the vineyards dry off, of course, we understand that the roots absorb all these chemicals. And probably we need to spoil them on uprooted.
Yeah, also... Grapes don't like wet feet. I mean, they literally, people don't realize this, but grapevines absorb oxygen through their roots. And if they're held underwater for too long a period of time, it's just like anything. It's hold you underwater and you'll die. You'll just suffocate to death. So, that is a bugger, isn't it? That's a shame.
For now, we can say that we lost many of vineyards from the one of the best region in Ukraine, wine producing region.
Yeah, so... The Zaporizhia region, how much of it is left in Ukrainian hands, slightly damaged, but not written off?
Okay, let's say Zaporizhia city is under Ukrainian control, and Zaporizhia, we call it like oblast, it's region, oblast.
What does oblast mean? People talk
about... Oblast region.
It's, oblast just means, because they talk about the Zaporizhia oblast, and I'm going, what the hell is
an oblast? we call it in Ukraine oblast, and actually now... more and more I hear from some foreigners that they start to use oblast as well. Not region, but oblast, because it's a little bit, it's a different meaning. You have a lot of villages there, some probably some small towns and big city that belongs, for example, Zaporizhia, it's a big city. And we have Zaporizhia oblast that belongs to some small town, small villages.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Zaporizhia. So what sort of percentage of yield or crops do you think you'll get out of Zaporizhia this summer?
I think they know about Zaporizhia region that there is some vineyards on occupied territory that are located not far from the Zaporizhia atomic plant.
Yeah.
And the owner doesn't know what's going on there, actually, because there is no access. And so we don't know what's going to be with the harvest.
For now, I know that two wineries destroyed and on the occupied territory of Zaporizhia. One winery is destroyed, another winery is looted. But what about the vineyards or plantations? It's of course, it's we couldn't do any harvest last year. And the grape just stayed on the vineyards. And, it's also a bad concept.
Is Bakhmut part of Zaporizhia?
No. It's part of Donetsk region.
Okay, because there's some vineyards. There was one producer in Bakhmut. I read they had a you were saying last week you had a deep cellar and all this sort of stuff, and the winery was smashed up.
Yeah, but they didn't have the vineyards there. The vineyards located in Odessa and Kherson and Mykolaiv, including Yes area. And before 2014, they just bought the vineyards in Crimea. They planted there.
Yeah,
and
very rare
next
corns.
The next year it was occupied, so they lost the plantations in Crimea. Now they particularly lost the production. So, well, hoping that soon they can come back and
rebuild everything.
Yeah, because I don't think it would be a question of money. It would be just a question of safety to rebuild everything. Yeah.
And when they lost their vineyards in Crimea, was it just taken away or were they compensated?
No, they just
Russian never compensate. They just steal, that's all.
But
they
don't know what is going on with the vineyards because they can't, they don't have any access to the vineyards.
Yeah.
And we don't have any access to Crimea, to statistics, to the business, what they're doing there, what they like.
So some cronies probably inherited a vineyard in Crimea.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on there with the wine business.
What about Kherson? What's the situation with Kherson?
Well, it was liberated this November. The Kherson, as you might know, was the first city that was occupied exactly on the 24th of February 2022. And it was liberated last November, 11th
partly,
November.
Partly.
Yes, the right bank of Dnipro River. There was one of the oldest winery that was located, one of the oldest winery in Ukraine, Prince Trubetskoy. It was created in 1889. Mm-hmm. And then it was created by the quite famous prince, Peter Trubetskoy. Then it was, during the Soviet period, it was the factory named by Lenin. Then it was bought by the private people and rebuilt and put the modern equipment. And they produced really good wine. And it was historical chateau. Actually, they have the hotel, the restaurant. It's fantastic, beautiful chateau. Swimming pool just on the bank of the river with a fantastic view. And the Russian troops, well, they enter the Kherson region, they use this place as their shelter. In the caves, there was a wines that over 120 years old, unique wines, priceless, absolutely.
Just historic cellar.
Yeah, maybe you can't drink it, but
the bottles are
priceless.
It's very special historic cellar.
Yeah. So they destroy everything.
Really?
The wines that was in the barrels, they drink, something they just mix. They destroy the equipment. We saw the pictures.
And stolen and moved to the Crimea, yeah.
Yeah, they destroy this historical building over 120 years history. They destroy everything. They left when the Ukrainian army came, but they left just across the river. And they continue every day to shut this territory, and we'll show you the pictures how it was.
Yes, the winery constantly under the fire.
And unfortunately,
a few days
nothing.
Ago,
yeah,
a few days ago, we received a new picture from the people who still stay there, and it's really completely destroyed.
Yeah, there is nothing left, unfortunately.
This winery is a really very historic winery. For us.
Yeah. See, it looks quite nice there, doesn't it? And then this photo of it being destroyed. Okay, so Kherson, again, question is, how much do you think you'll be able to get out of the wineries this year? Is there any far enough away from the front line? Is it all just...
As they were liberated just in November... This is Ukrainian territory, but the vineyards and as a main agriculture lands are mined. So you cannot be there, you cannot work there, you cannot even go there because the army who is controlling this territory asks, please do not go because the chances for you to be killed, it's 50-50 because it's always under the fire from the other bank. The fights between our army and Russians, even being our territory, we still cannot use it. Because
let's say Trubetskoy estate owned 240 hectares of vineyards, very special vineyards, really good clones. They are very, very good in Riesling. They are one of the best producers of Riesling. And all these vineyards are mined, heavily mined. So now this territory was liberated. We just understood that we need at least 10 years to unmine it.
Really?
Yeah, and it's big money.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in Ukraine, many, many agricultural plants are mined heavily. And the wine sector, it's not the most important wine sector in Ukraine. We're more about the seeds and cereals. And, of course, the wine plantations will be mined later than all plantations that we really need to unmine right now. We just started to work with some international company from USA, and they tried to collect some money for Ukraine, for Mykolaiv region, actually, not for Kherson, but I think we are very friendly. We are both very important regions in southern, and we will, of course, do for both regions. So then they collected money, and they will send us some specialists who will do it.
Do the demining, yeah?
Yeah, demining, because in Ukraine we don't have enough specialists who can do it.
It's very
especially smart. For private vineyards, you know.
What about Nikolaev, though? Has Nikolaev ever been under Russian control?
No, never, so it's always, never.
And it's, yeah. And it's out of
we fire. Have a very, very strong army in Mykolaiv. No, really, there was a very clever guy who just managed all territorial defense in Mykolaiv, and they fight it toward the Russians, but Russians never come to Mykolaiv city. Of course, some part of Mykolaiv region, for example, Kinbursk, this part of land is just on the opposite side of our winery.
Yeah.
And it's just 7 kilometers from the winery to the Russian troops on that side by water. And they're still there. We can't liberate it. It's really difficult because it's this piece of land surrounded by water from three sides.
How much of the wine region is around that you'll be able to get grapes from?
You mean in Mykolaiv?
Yeah, in Mykolaiv.
Actually, in Mykolaiv, we don't have any territory that's still occupied and produce and have some wineries. So all wineries are
under Ukrainian.
Yeah.
Okay, so
they just destroyed some, literally destroyed, not completely some. Sometimes they just can come. No, it's not occupied.
Okay, so you're going to get a normal crop?
Yeah, Russians destroyed a lot of plants, factories, businesses in Mykolaiv region, because Mykolaiv region is one of the best commercial region in Ukraine. A lot of tomato factor, for example, we just planted and harvest tomatoes in Kherson region, but production was in Mykolaiv region. They destroyed it. Oil plant, sunflower oil, and also destroyed many businesses, factories, plants were destroyed. But vineyards are still under Ukrainian control.
So,
all the vineyards in Mykolaiv region.
Some wines being produced in Mykolaiv.
Yeah,
this
we
year.
Can, we can, and we produce and we do it. After the Russian terroristic act on the Kakhovka hydropower plant, some of vineyards in Mykolaiv region is also flooded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's very close. It's also on the Black Sea and also have some river there. So, yeah, and probably we'll need to uproot them, but it's not a big plantations.
Okay. And Odessa, that's all okay? Not much problems?
Odessa is okay.
Odessa is fine, yeah. The only problems they have is the rockets they flew to Kyiv via Odessa. So.
Yeah. Odessa okay because Mykolaiv saved Odessa. Kherson, Mykolaiv, Odessa. And when they occupied Kherson, they go to Mykolaiv and we just stopped them before the Mykolaiv city.
Yeah.
And they can't go to Odessa region. Yeah. They are very, very angry with this situation. And and that's why they started to attack Mykolaiv with rockets every day and every night. They bombed everywhere. But we stopped them in Mykolaiv to save Odessa.
And I presume the region right on the sort of west side of Zakarpattia.
Nice. you can do it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good, man. Not. Zakarpattia, that's all okay?
That's the safest place in Ukraine.
Yeah.
First of all, they're covered from the east side by Carpathian Mountains. So they're quite safe, and there is nothing happening since the war, nothing at all, no one attacked, nothing. Yeah. So the vineyards in a maximum safe, and
And so many people relocated from the more dangerous places and regions to the Carpathia. There are now a lot of people.
It sounds like you're going to have some wine to sell, but what is the what's the biggest problem for Ukraine at the moment in terms of producing wine? Is it getting the wine, shipping it out of the country, finding markets? What's the issue for you guys? What's the biggest problem for you guys?
Danger, first of all, is again, the most of the vineyards and wineries are in the south, where it's quite dangerous to work. And this is the biggest problem we are facing now, because the people's life is the most important. And the winemakers, wineries owners don't want to rescue their people. So this is, of course, the main problem. The second one, that quite a lot workers left the wineries. Some of them went to the Ukraine Force armies to defend the country. Some of them left to another country or to more safe regions because it's not safe there, especially if they have their kids. Yeah.
This is a very big problem. It's professionals. From my winery, the four men went and then enlisted to defend our country. Two girls who was a second winemakers, so they help was like assistants of our winemakers. They also relocated to other country because Mykolaiv region was very dangerous, and our sub region where we are very dangerous. So six people, you see, six workers, very important workers, we lost.
Yeah.
And now it's too difficult to find someone, and just two winemakers still stay in the winery, and it's possible to do by free people everything.
Yeah, yeah,
no, everything is possible, and you do it, and you do it really great.
Yeah, but brave, of course, but it's difficult. Okay, let's say we can't be in time with all bottling process. We can't be in time with. We are always in time with the harvest, of course, because it's impossible to wait or to just postpone. Yeah. You need to harvest and you need to vinificate in the same time. So, but all other process and. Take more time now.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So staff is a big one.
So we are also shortage with the glass plants, with the glass bottles, because of destroyed two glass factory destroyed in Ukraine.
Yep.
And we need to import bottles, glass bottles from, for example, from Spain, from Moldova, from other countries. It's more expensive.
Yeah.
And it's also take more time. To bring the bottles to the winery. It's logistic problems, some problems with the stuff that you need to bottle, label, cork, etc.
Yeah, hopefully not in that order.
Yeah.
Normally you label after corking. But that's cool. Okay, and so you've got issues with lack of staff. You've got issues with getting hold of raw ingredients like your bottles and things like that. Have you found the international wine community quite open? I mean, I would have thought, you know, everybody would want to just like, okay, we'll do what we can.
Yes, yes, we met. Yeah, we see. So we see a big interest to Ukrainian wines, and we see how many people want to help us present our wines here, especially in UK market, actually. Yeah, after the London Wine Fair, we met a lot of people who are influencer from UK market who want to help us without any payment. So let us do something for you.
And also when the war was started, had so many requests from the wineries all around the world that we are ready to give a shelter for the people in Ukraine. Maybe you know some winemakers, maybe you know some people from the wine industry. We are welcoming them to live in a safe place. We can give a job. We can just give a food and place to live, etc. So there was really a lot of people all around the world from the wine business who were ready to help. Not only the importing Ukrainian wines to support us, but also to providing some shelter for the people from the wine business in Ukraine.
Since the invasion, and obviously you guys have been doing wines in Ukraine for a few years now, which regions or which countries have taken or tried to increase their Ukrainian wines the most?
It's Baltic countries and Nordic countries.
Which ones?
Baltic and Nordic countries.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which Baltic countries?
It's, let's say, of course, when the Estonia, they counted a Nordic country. Let's say Nordic country for first. It's Estonia, Finland, Norway, Denmark and Sweden as well. Baltic countries, Lithuania, Latvia. What else?
UK market is more complicated.
Told you previously, UK market needs to be prepared for something new. So if Ukraine, it's not the first country you think for when you're hearing about the wine.
Yeah.
So, and we need to prepare as much as we can UK market before we start working with this market. Yeah. But we sent all the wines here, then we start to prepare market, you know.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
Now, everyone wants our wines, but we are out of stock.
If you're finding places like the Nordics and the Baltics and all that, but you've lost some of your wine producing regions, will you be able to meet demand? Not really.
We already feel this lack of wine. It's not enough volume now in Ukraine. Mm. Not even that we lost something. Actually, in Ukraine, the most important market for us is Ukraine.
Yeah.
So it's domestic market.
Okay.
Increase every day and significantly increase, and consider that this trend by local in Ukraine will rise more and more. And of course, now we have many countries who already do import for our wines, and we are shortage with wines.
Yeah.
It's true.
And soon Ukrainians will have no Ukrainian wines to drink. Actually, that's the problem.
I think it's hard to find Ukrainian wines for both, for Ukraine and for export markets.
Yeah.
It's because of this, all these problems that we discussed, and of course about the vineyard that we lost, or they mined, or they flooded.
Out of production.
Yeah.
Okay, so that sounds like a bit of an issue, isn't it? It's not like all buy Ukrainian wines, because there probably isn't enough Ukrainian wines to go around anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe just pay a little bit more for your Ukrainian wines.
No, I don't think it will work like this. No, it's just not about the moment that we are now trying to sell as much as possible, but we don't know what's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and that is the problem, isn't it? It's uncertain. The whole thing is just uncertain.
Everything that's going to bring is uncertain, absolutely.
Okay, Victoria and Svetlana, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming here.